Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Before we get to the Jarvis Brownlee trade of the century, Liam McLeod says, I'd like to see the Titans wait until the season ends to fire Callahan, maybe next week. Take away his game management, though. The week after that, take away his sideline privileges. And maybe don't let him wear team apparel. Finally, make him sit next to Jared in the stands. But he can keep a headset, though. Well done, Liam. Well done.
Brian?
Hey, you know those Rand Carthon hats? You can wear those, yeah. Okay? Nothing with the flaming thumbtack. Brian, you can wear that weird tee.
You're not getting on the plane this week.
This is a low T alert.
You have to fly Southwest. We will meet you in Arizona.
Look, you can expense $15 to get A-list privileges, okay?
Amy said she'll gladly cover it.
And here's a drink ticket.
Don't be buying any extra peanuts on there, though.
That's right.
So Jarvis Brownlee Jr. traded yesterday from the Tennessee Titans to the New York Jets. In exchange for basically a pick swap, it's Jarvis Brownlee and a seventh rounder headed to the Jets in exchange for a sixth round draft pick from the Jets. Now, Joe, I saw this yesterday, and my immediate reaction was, what are they doing? Like, this is ridiculous. What sort of a trade is this? On the surface, it makes absolutely no sense. You've got a fifth round pick from last year that has come in and has outperformed where he was drafted. He's not perfect. And, you know, I kind of joked about this week one, and maybe I wasn't really joking. I mean, he might set a penalty record if he's out there starting and playing for you every week. So, no, by no means is he perfect. But I also think that we've seen some good reps and some good things from Jarvis Brownlee. And, heck, compared to a lot of their draft picks over the last few years, he's been – great. I mean, my goodness.
Sure.
Fifth round pick.
Good value.
That's come in and has played well given where he was drafted. So the return, number one, the decision to trade him in year number two makes no sense. It doesn't line up with their organization and where they're at right now.
Like, draft, develop, retain.
Yeah, draft, develop, retain. And if you're starting to trade people, you would think it's more like, all right, well, Calvin Ridley, is he getting traded? Or, I don't know, you can trade Jeffrey Simmons. Like, stuff like that.
Right.
So I was so confused by it. Still am confused by it, which makes me think, Joe, there's got to be something else here. Like, he has to have said something, done something. I don't know, because beyond that, beyond him rubbing somebody the wrong way over there, on the surface, it makes no sense, that trade we saw yesterday.
You know, the Titans have opened themselves up to be clowned on anything. The front office, the coaching staff, like, it's open season, and it's totally deserved and totally earned. But sometimes you got to step back and ask yourself, I mean, even if you moderately follow the NFL, you understand, like, the value here, right, of him as a fifth rounder outperforming that and then swapping a seven for a six, just like Kenny called in earlier and gave us the math. I mean, they're not that dumb. Okay, just like I don't buy for a second this Callahan looking in the mirror, and I decided, by golly, I'm going to strip myself of my play calling duties, even though I'm awesome at calling plays. I also do not buy that this is just the Titans are that bad at just basic thought in the front office. So I don't buy for a minute. I mean, this has to be an issue with Brownlee, and we'll have PK coming in and get his thoughts, and maybe he has some insight on that. It's also, I mean, look at, like, Brownlee was in a boot, right, on Sunday?
Correct.
And last week, what did we have? What information did we have on Brownlee?
Well, he was practicing during the week last week.
That's right. He got hurt.
I believe on the Wednesday, on either Wednesday or Thursday. I'll go back and look.
It was later in the week that something happened.
That something happened. He left practice, and then he was unable to play.
It'd be interesting if he just all fine and ready to go for the Jets. And as many people pointed out, David Paris, by the way.
Yeah.
Boy, bundle up, my man.
I'm very proud.
Bundle up.
I mean, that's my favorite moment from Jarvis Brown in his time with the Titans. After the Washington game, they got run on for about a billion yards in that game. He's like, hey, look, nobody else going to have the courage to say this. I will. I'll step up. I'll say it. It's cold out there. It's cold out there, man. Let me just tell you, it's cold.
It was that Thursday. Wednesday, all good. That Thursday, limited.
Yeah. So I think he left practice Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah. So I may be looking into that whole thing, and there's no need to. But yeah, like this is, there's no way you do this unless you think that trading him, like there's an untenable situation with him, trading him away. Maybe it's a trade him away, like you think he's a locker room, whatever. It's something like that, right? Like there's, it makes zero sense.
Well, again,
on its face.
Like I'm not saying that he's going to be some all pro player or anything, right? Like he's not right. that good.
No, but he's at least he's a fringe starter for sure.
He's a fringe starter, and he's a fifth-round pick, and he's young. And he's a guy that has overperformed where you drafted him. And frankly, like they need more of those guys. Like they not less. They need more of those guys around right now when it comes to the Titans.
So, young, cheap guys who can play a little bit.
So something has to have gone down here. I don't know what it is. I don't know if we're going to get some clarity on that at some point or what that's going to look like. But, on the surface, it just makes no sense. So something has to have gone down here. You know, somebody on the text line says it's a weak locker room. I'm sorry, but he was going to be there longer than Callahan and his garbage staff demand an explanation. We'll see. Like, I don't know. Do you think Borgonzi and or Brinkert should talk about this? Like, it's a fifth-round pick at the end of the day. So I don't know. I mean, I doubt you're going to see it.
I don't think they will. And – Look, they're going to trade more people, I think.
Yes.
Because I think they're headed for a sell-off and more some trades that make sense.
Right.
Like you said, the some of these veterans, like you know, if you're a Titans fan and you're still going to watch the football, root for Calvin Ridley to start to look like a professional receiver here soon and things like that. Because I think it's guys like that who – so when those things happen – you know, then there'll be a conversation. And again, it's like Borgonzi or Brinker or both of them. I bring in Burke to make it the whole berserker. I don't know. I mean, yesterday still he's texting me because I mentioned like Borgonzi's draft class. He's like, what do you mean? It's Brinker's draft class. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
You tell me. But thank you. But I mean, it's never worked better than – it's like every day it becomes even more beautiful and perfectly suited for these guys. But I don't think they're going to talk just about this particular situation. That's one of those things that needs to be asked. So let's hope that Mr. Magoo, a.k.a. PK, remembers to ask the question when they finally do have the press conference.
Well, I mean, Callahan's speaking today. I'm sure it's going to come up, right? Like, I'm sure the Brownlee trade will come up. And as people have pointed out on the text line, it's probably going to be something that, Jarvis needed to change the scenery and – probably not going to get much detail out of it. So
but
we'll
who
see.
Knows?
I don't know. We'll see what happens on that front, but it makes me think that something has to have gone down there. Because here's the other thing. Not just how old he is and the Titans are a young team and they're trying to build with some of these guys. I also look at corner and I'm like, I don't know that corner right now, unless you can get something big for L'Jarius Sneed, I don't know that corner would be the place that I'm subtracting from right now. The depth there is not good.
No. No, exactly. Like it's so you've weakened your team, which doesn't need to be weakened at all. And how are these guys again? Like if you're Brian Callahan, who's gonna be the one who has to address it today? There may be stuff behind the scenes where it's like, oh yes, this had to happen. But if you're him and you know the only way, if you still think there's a way you're keeping your job past this year, you know the only way is winning.
Yeah.
Winning football games. Like there's just not, I mean, the Cam Ward thing is like, I mean, it, you know, especially with the way they've jumbled everything, you have to win football games. Well, you just got weaker. Like you're not better. You, not that Jarvis Brownlee is some lockdown guy, but like you could be pretty bad out there at corner. Whereas with him, yeah, you're gonna have some penalties, but you're also, like, you've got a guy who can play a little bit.
Take your thoughts on the Jarvis Brownlee trade. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com will be with us later in the program. We got a whole lot of things to get into with PK on the Titans front. So we're taking your thoughts on the Jarvis Brownlee trade at the moment.
Hey, shout out to Anthony Moore on the YouTube chat. He says, I'm listening in from Brisbane, Australia. I usually listen to your podcast the next morning. Callahan has to go. I'm not waking up at 3 a.m. on Mondays to watch his awful coaching.
Thank you, Anthony, for listening.
It's dedication right there.
So he watches the game games live at 3 a.m. on Monday. My goodness. That's some fandom.
Especially for this team. That guy needs to win Fan of the Year.
Cheers to you, Anthony.
Yep. Well, we have our complete and total respect. Total respect out there.
See, this is, again, at some point things are going to get better.
Make sure you don't boo, though. Can't have that.
Yeah, that's right. At some point, things are going to get better, and it's people like you who will deserve it the most. Think of those days. When will they come? I don't know, but I know they will come.
Keith says, next week, Callahan will announce that Hardigree, Holtz, and McCoy are all co-coordinators, offensive coordinator by committee. We have one collective coordinator together. We all are part coordinator.
Yeah. And then sack races.
Yeah. John from Nashville says, the return on the trade for Brownlee is terrible. Why not get a corner from the Jets in exchange? And we had to also give up our seventh to make this happen. I mean, Joe, it tells me, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, but it tells me that I think the Titans were shopping him, right? Like, it tells me that they were the ones putting him out, not that people were just randomly calling about Jarvis Brownlee.
Yes.
At that point.
Well, there was a report about the Patriots.
Yes.
Who had the report? I apologize for not properly crediting you, but you had the report. Good job, you, whoever you are. And that report tells me that there was a shopping situation of Brownlee. And by the way, can you imagine if the exact same trade was made with the Vrabster?
Oh, man.
Also, even colder up there. But
it's true.
Yeah. So, yeah, this was – they at some point here –
Jordan Schultz, by the way.
Jordan Schultz.
Yep.
Hey, come on in, PK. Maybe Jordan and I can both beat the crap out of you. Say another word about the Detroit Tigers. You're dead. But anyway, that tells me that they were shopping him around. And so very recently, it seems like it was like, yep, he's got to go.
Yeah.
So we're going to pay for it because, you know, like you're trading away a player, a young player who's cheap and playing beyond his draft value, but that's how much we want him gone. That is what has happened here.
I mean, what could have possibly gone down for that to be the case? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's just wild.
I mean, it could be an accumulation. I guess if you want to talk football stuff, I think he's been worse this year. The penalties, he seems to be sort of, you know, obviously some of his answers on the penalties.
But it can't be just that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. But it's like, I guess, could that be part of it?
Could be. It could be part of it. But like, if it's not something egregious, either like in the building or off the field, whatever, then it just doesn't make any sense. Because you have to, like, if it's just on the field related, I mean, don't you have to find a way to try to coach through that at some point? Like you would think.
Yeah, man, this organization just changes jobs.
That's true.
Changes people's jobs. Yeah, why not just move people on? Get people out of here.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Roy to the program. Roy, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, guys. I'm just kind of confused on the Brownlee trade. 3 games in, they preached to us all offseason, training camp, that they want to develop young players and have a, you know, guys with talent and have him here for the future. And, you know, he's under his rookie contract. Granted, this year he's kind of had a lot of penalties and other things, you know, not look good for him on the field. But they preached to us all off season about developing young guys. And if the coaches can't develop these guys, you know, I mean, maybe it's not the player. I mean, this kind of reminds me, it's kind of different. Alteron Verner years ago when they dumped him when he was playing at a real high level, scratched my head for years, and I'm still mad about the Verner trade, even though that's been years and years ago. I just don't understand. And granted, you know, you get a 6th round and you flip your 7th for the 6th and you just want to dump him, and it seems like this roster needs every position player like him out there to rotate in and out. It just doesn't make sense. Seems like there's probably some other things that's probably on the horizon that's gonna have a trickle effect. Tighten up, guys. I'm just confused.
Thanks. Thank you, Roy. Appreciate the call. Well, to that last point, Joe, are we going to start seeing some trades like pretty quickly here? You know, last year we talked about the idea of selling off before the deadline. And they did some of that, right? Like, you know, Hopkins was gone, and they did some of that. Could you see a major sell-off this year? Like, could they be looking at Ridley? Could they be begging somebody to take Snead? Like, does Jeffrey Simmons get traded at some point? And if so, like, is the Brownlee trade a signal that they've already started that process, or is it just on its own, independent, and we'll see some of that a little bit closer to the actual trading deadline, which I don't think is to the first week of November?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm looking at this independently. Again, I think it's a Brownlee thing specifically, but I think that's also possible. And again, if that's the case, if you're Brian Callahan and now you can focus on being the CEO, how are you supposed to win a football game? I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do. I'm just saying they basically are telling you that they're making a change at the end of the year, right?
Yeah.
Certainly if they do that. If you give him no chance to win football games, then okay. Like there's no way that you bring him back next year.
I think they're already there. Like,
well, yeah, I mean yeah, I think that may be the case. I'm just saying it's like if you're him, I mean, I'm sure if you're him, maybe not. Maybe he sees it right on the wall too, and you just got to go through the process and don't burn any bridges and, you know, and try to be somebody's QB coach last, maybe OC yep. next year or whatever. But if you're him and you still have any fight and hope of keeping the job, I think you'd probably like to keep some players who can play football.
Too. Yeah, I think you would too. I think this is also where I think that his job status and the organizational goals probably end up being at odds with each other. Because if I'm Borgonzi right now, I'm looking at this roster and I'm saying, get me as many draft picks as you can possibly get me. Like, we need a lot of picks coming up over the next few years. And I'm not saying you sell off anybody for anything. Like, if you're going to trade Jeffrey Simmons away, you better get appropriate compensation back for Jeffrey Simmons, right? Like, you don't just make the deal to make a deal. Now, on the Ridley front, on the Snead front, you know, how well are they going to be playing by the time the deadline comes around? Because right now, I don't know what you're getting for Calvin Ridley. Guy can't catch the football at the moment. So I don't know exactly what that's going to look like. But I think we are rapidly approaching a point where what's best for Callahan and what's best for the organization as a whole in terms of how they approach this thing are going to be directly at odds with each other.
Right. So it's just lame duck time. And again, so let's talk about what the most important thing is in the franchise. Who is the most important person, as we've said 10 million times? It's Cam Ward. So how does this benefit him? The guy who specifically works with him is now a play caller who said, yeah, Cam will be fine.
Yeah.
The Callahan – look, again, Cam, everybody's out on Brian. I get it. Cam is unprompted telling people how much he likes him. I mean, does Brian do more with him now? I mean, I have no idea. I don't know how it will look, but you've signed up now for you've already disrupted things and disrupted the process. Whether it was a good or bad process, it's the process you agreed on that you all decided to do, and you're already disrupting it 3 games into the season, which again does not happen at all. If Brian Callahan doesn't make 2 gaffes that are so ridiculous, the whole league is making fun of him. If those things don't happen, this isn't happening right now.
Now,
So this is all to potentially the detriment of Cam Ward.
Yeah.
Because of these. And again, so then I like the thought process on doing this, I really have to question the people who came up with this idea.
Well, and then it gets into, man, when you're a quarterback and you get drafted to bad organizations, which make no mistake about it, the Titans are a bad organization.
Yeah.
It's hard. it's really hard. It's hard to overcome it. And I'm not saying he can't do it, but there's no question about it. If you want to be honest with yourself or you're a Titans fan, I think we know that. You are like the Browns and the Jets right now. Doesn't mean that you have to be that way forever, but right now you're in that category of just the absolute dumpster fire organizations in the league.
No, you're the Lions. And yeah. I know that's the thing. And that's the hope, right? You're the Lions, who, because of ownership, have more joke for decades and decades. And sometimes you still can get people in who come together, do a great job, and you can have good football teams. But it's a bad organization.
Yeah.
Which is what you are.
One more thing on the Brownlee part that's interesting to bring up that people brought up on the text line. I'll get your thoughts on that coming up next. Paul Kuharsky will be with us later in the program, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, I believe he's having a run-in with the law enforcement at the moment, so we'll see if he's here at some point.
Wait, what?
Kuharsky got pulled over. So if the police officer is listening, let's let PKA off with a warning. He's got a job to do. Come in here.
I'm not worried about a ticket. If he earned a ticket, he needs a ticket. I mean, you got to do your job. We all got to do a job.
So hopefully PK will be in here at some point. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Shout out to law enforcement in our town. Metro PD does a great job out there.
Absolutely. Keep those streets safe.
What's going on as we speak?
Like I texted PK.
They never stop. 24/7, baby.
That's right. I texted PK. You know, maybe spend a little less time making fun of the Detroit Tigers, a little more time monitoring your speed. You'd be in here right now. Yeah. But lesson learned, I hope.
A lot of people
we'll find out.
Asking if PK got pulled over for blocking the box. We'll see. I'm interested to get, maybe. Hopefully we'll see here at some point.
Yeah, he that's makes a it thing. Sometimes those stops can be long. Just let's move it along. We need PK in here. I mean, it's so bad for the Titans.
Write him his ticket and let's go.
I mean, Titans writers are falling apart. My goodness.
Good week.
What everything that touches the Titans.
So this has been brought up a couple of times on the text line, and I want to get your thoughts on it. We know Brownlee got called for a lot of penalties in week one. Very handsy out there. Illegal contact, pass interference, things of the like. And basically, when he was asked about it after the game, he was like, yeah, you know, I don't really know what to do. I'm just going to play the way I play. And it was pretty clear the next week that Denard Wilson did not like that response. Like, he was like, no, we're going to have to coach it. We're going to have to change it. Like, that's not acceptable to get out there and just get flagged all the time. Could this have stemmed from all that? Could it have gotten that bad between the Titans and Brownlee's approach that they just figured, you know what, get this guy out of here?
Yeah, it could be. I guess I would hope it'd be something beyond that, because to me it's kind of like, well, this is as a defensive coordinator, as a coach, as a coaching staff, like you have to deal with these things, right? Like I guess I would hope it would be more like, there's some detriment to the team, and like there's some addition by subtraction with the team, with the locker room in making this move. Not just that got into a, a flap with the coach about the handsy stuff, but it certainly, this is something we know publicly. So it makes sense to think about that. I think that could be something. I'd like to ask PK, can we get him out? Can we get him a CB? Can we get PK? And breaker, you got Karski with you? Is he in the back of the car? Sir, can he make his one phone call now, please? We have a question for him.
Checking it. Paul, your thoughts on Jarvis Brownlee's trade?
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
I can't wait till he comes in here. We'll save the rant for you, PK.
Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Michael to the program. Michael, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Before I get to my point, we're going to need DJ Burnside to make a sick edit of PK in the back of the squad.
Oh, that's a great call.
That's a great call.
He's got to get on that for sure. But anyway, to my point, Joe, I don't want to keep piling on to your beloved Detroit Tigers, but is this going to be the worst collapse in just professional sports history? It's got to be on at least the Mount Rushmore, because, I mean, it's everything you hear about what's happening with them, it's almost unbelievable. It seems like it should be impossible. And may your grandmother rest in peace. She went out seeing them on a high note. She did not have to witness this, thankfully. May she rest in peace.
Thank you, Michael.
That is a good point.
It's true.
I mean, yeah.
At least you didn't have to see this.
That's true. I mean, things were going well. Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's – thanks for bringing it up.
I'll read the Jeff Passan tweet that you sent me last night.
Yeah.
August 25th, Not that long ago, Joe. Detroit holds a 12.5 game lead over Cleveland. September 23rd, which was yesterday, the Guardians beat the Tigers to tie them atop the AL Central, and now they own the tiebreaker as well. One of the great surges and collapses we've ever seen all over the course of less than a month.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
It's great. I mean, I want them to forfeit. They have 5 games left. They're tied for the division lead. So if you went into the season and told me there's 5 games left and the Detroit Tigers are tied for the division lead and they're playing the team the next 2 days they're tied with, I would have said, hell yeah, sign me up. You know what? I want them to forfeit the whole season. I want them to never play baseball again. This is not supposed to be the rant. We're not supposed to be talking about the Detroit Tigers. We have enough issues in this town with our professional sports teams.
The Detroit Tigers are winning today. Lock it down. They're winning today. This went really well for me last week when I picked the Titans, so you're welcome.
Yeah.
The Tigers are winning today.
They could be up 12-1 in the ninth inning, and I would bet my entire life savings that they would lose. Okay? Seriously.
Down bad right now.
It's that bad. It is one of the all-time collapses ever.
Down very bad.
So right thanks now. For the call. Appreciate it.
We have people texting in wondering if Tavondre Sweat is going to be traded next.
Well, like you said,
just trading people from last year.
Well, like you said, Cam.
Yeah,
trade him the Giants. Russ and what a 6?
Can we get Russ back?
Look at this guy.
Maybe a 5th round pick. Our latest criminal has made it in the building.
Hey, can you play Jailbreak? There's no way he's here legally. He absolutely must have. Was this like a Smokey and the Bandit scene? He's bounding down. Kahusky's on his way.
We've had entirely too much fun with
this. They've really expedited the process.
Oh, good.
He didn't even ask for insurance or registration, which is good because I was struggling to find the registration. But just a license, and, you know, they used to go back there, and they'd spend 20 minutes and everything. I mean, he was back in no time.
Wow. That's
impressive. You get a ticket or no?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, this was just terrible. It was a big backup. Everybody's slowing down. I was like, what the F? And I went up the left and cut across, and he was right there on his motorcycle, aimed right at me. I hit the brakes hard. 66 and a 45.
Oh,
damn, man. He got you the reckless driving, woo! Right?
He didn't give me reckless driving. Just said okay. 66 and a 45.
Oh, I thought 20, said I thought 20 was automatic
school.
With that. Traffic
I don't
school?
Think it's traffic, automatic.
Traffic school option.
Okay. Okay.
Well, a lot of people.
You know, online. I like the headphone setup at this station.
Yeah, we'll get that corrected here.
I love Joe's logic. Joe's giving me like fan logic. Jarvis Brownlee was in a boot last week. That was fake. And if only you weren't talking about the Tigers, you would have been more focused on your driving and you would have made it here in no time.
Hey, look, I like that. Nonsensical
BS.
I appreciate you trying to deflect away from your criminal behavior in public. That's fine. We can talk about other things if you like.
I'm just glad.
I'd rather have a ticket than gout. I'll use his kind of logic.
We had a lot of people
maybe
wondering.
Did Jarvis Brownlee had gout and was that why he's wearing the boot? Do we know this for sure? No.
Yeah, Titans fans, amazingly, like, between Sweat and Brownlee, they decided, like, it's impossible for a player to get hurt during the week.
Yeah.
Wait, he didn't get hurt in the game? This is some conspiracy.
Kind of fishy.
He wasn't on the injury report on Wednesday, but he's on it on Thursday. My God.
I'm with them.
I'm just glad that you didn't get pulled over for blocking the box. That would have been a tough hit to the brand there.
Listen, they'd never pull anybody over for blocking the box. I could park in the box and not get pulled over. I would do it out of protest to, like, see if something could happen. Impossible.
We're glad you made it.
Thank you very much.
Really glad you made it.
The guy was very fast. I appreciate that. It's the fastest pullover I've ever had.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you know.
I think that, quite frankly, when I pay this fine, I think the game should pay half of it. I was busting my hump
just
to get
half?
Over here. Well, listen, I understand the budget over here. I was trying to get here. It's working for you.
He's a man of the people.
I mean, 60. What did I say?
66 and a 45.
He's going 95
and a
45,
20. Trying to get here. And the problem was, the reason I was pushing it is because there was such damn unnecessary traffic on 65. If you people on 65 would drive, everything would be fine. I wouldn't be going to traffic school.
We'll get PK some headphones. We'll have the Rex rant coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. Maybe we'll hear from PK Moore too on the rant. 102.5 The Game.
Let's have a show rant.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you suck, Nico. Greedy. Burr, burr, burr. Ooga, ooga.
This dude is an idiot.
Breaker, breaker. You got Karski with you?
It's so fun to hear you try to be hip.
PK is uninformed on something else.
Well, did you know the play, Paul?
I'll siphon gasoline through, you know, your tailpipe.
You might want to sing it note for note.
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net.
I need to get through these jokes, and we've had some great stuff from the listeners today, like the William from Dover. Paul got a scholarship to Georgia to play football. After this,
Kirby Smart's on the phone with Paul right now.
Now, who is this guy? Karski?
A speeding violation.
66. That's pretty good.
How fast is he?
Can you do 76?
We are losing our minds, okay? But look, we have so many things to ask you, PK, so I want to go right to that. First of all, percentage chance that Brian Callahan looked in the mirror and said, you know, my play calling's amazing, but I don't think I'm going to do that anymore.
Well, if...
No. Give me a number.
Well, Brinker and Borgonzi told him to look in the mirror, then hi.
They're holding it.
If they brought him a mirror and they said, see that mirror behind your desk, and flip your chair.
Oh, my God. Okay, do you guys... You guys, have you ever seen the movie Purple Rain?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, like when Morris Day is on stage, they're holding the mirror onto him. Here you go, Brian! Check it out!
Another situation where I haven't memorized the film and it fails me. I never realized that when I started doing sports talk radio, my big failure was going to be that I didn't memorize film.
Just the whole thing. You remember that line?
Do the bird!
Berserker. I'm supposed to remember that one.
I mean, it's sad that you don't.
I could give you a lot of Fletch.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That's fine. You put your ticket on the Underhill. See? Yeah, here we get go. That. You get it? Okay.
There we go.
So zero. We're at 0.0.
Yeah, that's not what happened. We all know that's not what happened. you know, he said... What did he say? He said he had no problem with his play calling, basically.
He basically said it's freaking awesome.
In his play calling. I mean, from the zero disappointment in his play calling, I think it could only get worse, right?
That's kind of what I thought.
If he's 100% as a play caller, Hart agree has a hell of a standard to live up to. So if he has zero disappointment in his play calling, you know, he had to be nudged to give it up. I have no doubt he was nudged. To give it up.
Nudged?
Well.
Nudged seems a little light. Yeah. Don't you think he was ordered to give it up?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, nudged is...
Well, look. Nudge. He's clearly in self-preservation mode.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's conceivable he's thinking, I'm going to have to do this in order to continue to stay in some level of graces here. So, you know, he's probably thinking this is going to happen as they're asking/telling him it needs to happen.
Do you believe it's Berserker, which would be what we call the front office around here?
Yeah, well, who else is?
Well, I mean, there's an owner. She's letting them just figure it out and staying detached?
I would hope that 3 games in, after a pledge to stay detached, that she's managing to stay detached. Now, I understand a bad loss in Houston for the Adams family can change all detachment pledges. So we're on alert for that. And then I believe Vrabel leaving the field here stained in blood, which I expect to happen no matter his bad roster, could also do that. And I've written this. I mean, the two trigger points for her to reinvolve herself magically after completely separating herself and leaving the team to be something that she merely observes from a distance while she leaves Burke Nihil and Chad Brinker to be her voice and really lead this football team. Those are the two things that I think would could reinject her into involvement.
What do you make of what apparently was just zero consideration given to Nick Holtz being now the play caller as the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I don't think it's as big a deal as you guys do for this reason. When they hired this staff, and they went too young, obviously, but when they hired this staff, they're fully expecting that Brian Callahan's calling the plays. So they're not like lining up like who's going to be the next guy to call plays. It's not like the Vrabel situation where you have to have somebody next. There's no situation where you're saying, well, if the head coach is a bad play caller, who's the reserve guy to play call? And so Holtz is like the consigliere to a degree to Callahan. And so when Callahan fails at play calling, you then look at who's the best option to be the play caller, and it doesn't happen to be the offensive coordinator. The guy with the best, most recent experience is Hardegree. I was a little surprised. I thought it might be McCoy, who didn't do it as a head coach for the Chargers, but did do it at three other stops as an offensive coordinator. All of us were writing pre-prep expecting this to happen, and I got the art ready for Holtz, and I got the art ready for McCoy, and of course I was nowhere on Hardegree. So I'll admit I didn't see that coming. But Hardegree makes sense to me.
Okay, well, I'm going to argue with you here. Okay, so then why does everyone who gets Nick Holtz's job get head coaching jobs where they call plays? I mean, that is what, right? Brian Callahan never called a freaking play, but he gets a head coaching job where he calls plays. Go all over the league. This is what happens. So there's no way that you can say that this decision is not some commentary on Nick Holtz and what he's done.
Sure. I mean, you could look at it that way, but you could also look at it as some commentary on Bo Hardegree and what he's done. The Bears wanted Bo Hardegree as their passing game coordinator in the offseason, and the Titans denied him that. Bo Hardegree has a bigger reputation on what he's done in the league, and seems to be more of a riser than Nick Holtz.
Yeah. I mean, look, you do this with Callahan, his hand-picked buddy, OC, passed over. I mean, I guess really the big picture here is this is just – someone said it earlier in the text line, shuffling the chairs on the deck of the Titanic.
Absolutely.
It's just – it's the next step before the inevitability. It's a precursor
to him being fired. That's what it is. It's a precursor to him being fired. And look, on the Nick Holtz front, I'll tell you, and I believe this, he's worse off out of all of this. And you may be right about all that, but the bottom line is now either they're all going to get fired and be bad enough where they're getting fired, or Bo Hardegree's going to step in and do a good job, and he's going to be the offensive coordinator of the team. Holtz is done. Like, it's done. There's no coming back from this.
I can't imagine that there's a holdover if they do this, unless, I mean, if Hardegree does a great job at this, I'm not saying it saves Brian Callahan. It maybe opens the door for you to hire a defensive head coach if you say, hey, would you like this offensive coordinator? But then if Hardegree's really good at it, then he's gone in a year as a head coach, and you're back in that cycle.
It's never been more complicated to
sort out the thing. And I think the coaching pool is thinned. I mean, you could say that every year, but I mean, the names people are throwing out to be his replacement, which isn't a conversation I'm anxious to have going into week four.
But here we are.
You know, the John Gruden train's going hard. I mean, John Gruden hasn't had he had like six winning seasons in 14 years. Basically a 500 coach.
It's also suing
the NFL. He's got this rep as a quarterback developer. He's got this rep as a quarterback developer. I mean, if you drop Jeff Garcia onto this team, people would go insane. Jeff Garcia or Brad Johnson. Oh, the quarterback developer. Yeah, Rich Gannon. He hit a home run one time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I was also thinking about this. So Hardegree, I'm not saying it can get much worse because I don't think it can. But he's a guy that's been working with your quarterback every day. And we all would agree that the quarterback is the most important part of this organization by far. Especially knowing in your back pocket now, if you're everybody involved with this, that the head coach is not going to be here next year. I mean, barring a miracle, not going to be here. So now you've taken the guy that has been working with your quarterback every day in Bo Hardegree, and I'm not saying he's not going to be working with Cam Ward still, but he does have more on his plate now where he's got to worry about calling plays. Like, what do you make of that part of it?
He does. He talked about that.
He said Cam will be fine. Yeah, he's fine. Cam's fine.
you know, he said, I am going to have to, you know, separate myself from him once in a while to go talk to position groups about what's coming next or what we just did or what the next third down play is and all of that. But, I mean, I don't think you don't do it for fear of taking him away from Ward a little bit. And what would benefit Ward in a big way is better sequencing of play calling. So if you're getting a better sequencing of play calling out of Bo Hardigree, well, and Cam Ward spends a little less time with him, I'd make that trade off.
Percentage chance that Brian Callahan is the Titans head coach in 2026?
Zero.
Zero. Not even like they go 11-5.
Well, that's what I'm telling you.
The percentage chance of that is also zero. Yeah. Thus my.
But I'm watching the biggest collapse in pro sports history, so I'm thinking possibilities are endless.
It's true.
2%.
Okay, we got
it's
you
very
two.
Low.
Yeah. I was going to go 1.3.
Yeah, I will go zero. Let's head back to our 102.5 game phone line.
I was shamed into 2%.
I nudged you.
They put him back and said, we think this is a guy who can grow, and he's shrunk in the moment.
Yeah.
And he admitted as much the other day, like, yeah, this stuff wasn't happening last year and it's happening now. And I think if there's any, now that he's given up play calling, if there's anything like the stuff we saw, the two incidents in the Denver game and this incident in the Colts game, if there's anything like that again this season, and he's got 14 opportunities, if there's one more thing like that,
Eberflus,
he's fired.
Yeah, I mean, you can't make any. I don't think even his biggest supporters and the biggest patience peddlers, you know, have to go back on their word and just say, you know, no. Now, I think that people are unreasonable out there in expecting what they expect from an in-house replacement. I think you get a temporary boost, and you still have a crap roster and a terrible situation.
Let's quickly welcome Trey to the program on our phone line. Trey, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Morning.
Hey, I wanted to say, okay, all right, everybody's giving, you know, Brian Callahan flack. Okay, but if he sends in a play call, an eighth grade coaching play call, and you got a player, a quarterback, as far as Cam Ward, that can't produce or execute that play, then that's on Cam Ward. That's not on Coach Callahan. I think this separation of him not being able to call plays either is going to be a vindication for Brian Callahan, or it's going to be like, okay, Cam really can't play. And I've been around champions. I have five champions that been in championships right now from my neighborhood. And I see them, and I see Cam Ward, and I'm just saying I don't see it in him. I don't see it. And that goes as far as seeing the players going down the field, hitting receivers, his footwork, his thinking through the game. I don't see it.
Well, he certainly has a long way to go.
Thank you, Drake.
But also, Calvin Ridley should catch some balls for him, and you know, he's got to get rid of the ball faster. You're not going to get a decisive conclusion on Cam Ward three games in.
Rex Road, it's broken his hand over there.
I'm like, dude, we got to go.
Yeah,
that was a quick wrap.
It was good. 6.5.
You don't go fast enough. 102.5. Well, depending on if they ask law enforcement, but.
We got one more hour with PK coming up next. Got a lot of thoughts on the Titans to get into with him. We'll take yours as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.